Welcome to the World Trademark Review Podcast, turning trademark law into business sense.
Welcome to our first podcast of 2017. I'm Trevor Little, editor of World Trademark Review, and I'll be speaking shortly to Joe Ferretti, who is Vice President and Chief Counsel for Global Trademarks at PepsiCo, and 2017 President of the International Trademark Association. He takes the hot seat at an interesting time, as well as grappling with the trademark dimensions of recent political developments. Plain packaging remains a live issue as we wait for the World Trade Organization to have its say on the integrity of Australia's regime, while ICANN is undertaking a series of reviews of the new GTLD program. And in the judicial arena, we await some key decisions, not least on the registrability of disparaging marks in the US. These will be just some of the issues that impact INTA's members over the coming year, and Joe will be on the front line in terms of the association's activities and responses. In addition, there's the little matter of his day job at PepsiCo. Despite this, he took time out to speak to us about the year ahead, so let's delve straight into the interview. Well, Joe, thanks for taking time out today to talk trademarks and the year ahead at the INTA. Before we delve into some of the issues, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about your background and how this might shape your approach to the trademark issues you'll be encountering as Inter President.
Sure. Well, thank you, Trevor, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you. A little bit about me. I'm a lawyer from Oklahoma, actually. I practiced law at one of the best firms in Oklahoma, Crowe & Dunleavy, for 13 years, where I was a partner and head of the chair of the IP section. So I came with a lot of private practice experience, and then I went in-house. So I was at my law firm for 13 years, and I've been in-house for about 12 now. It's been a tremendous opportunity to have experience equally on doing both roles. And I was very fortunate then to come to PepsiCo, which has the world's best brands and truly global. It's an exciting company to work for. It's an excellent company to work for, and being able to work with a team overseeing the brands globally for PepsiCo is a true honor and pleasure.
Great. And you know, I know sort of the road to the INTA presidency is sort of a long one in terms of your engagement with the association over the years, and I presume the company's been very sort of supportive in that regard.
The company's been extremely supportive. In fact, when I first came to PepsiCo, my boss at the time, Kelly Tullier, had been on the board of INTA, and she urged me to get involved, to get on committees and participate. And so from day one, the company was supportive. And my current boss and management right now is equally supportive because we're a brand company, and brands are important to PepsiCo, and they're important to many, many companies, obviously. In fact, I am the third president of INTA from PepsiCo. There were two before me. So I feel real appreciative to work for a company that's so supportive. Most importantly as well is that my team's supportive. I have probably the best team in the world of just top-notch trademark professionals, and they're also extremely supportive, and I couldn't do it without everyone's support, PepsiCo.
Great. And obviously then you're therefore coming from a company, I guess, that appreciates the benefits of association and involvement with the INTA world. And I'm just sort of wondering if, you know, for people that may be listening to this that aren't yet INTA members or are perhaps sort of struggling to maybe get their company to give them the sort of the time and resources to kind of really engage. I mean, what are the main arguments that you feel that they should make to their management about why it's beneficial to be an active member?
Well, I'll tell you, it's hugely beneficial, both for the individual as well as the organization, and from a management perspective, being involved in INTA allows someone to be on the forefront of efforts to affect change with regard to IP, and that's the organization's most precious and valuable intangible assets is IP and trademarks. So being involved in that can make a huge difference. In addition, it also enhances your organization's public reputation and visibility as an organization that values brands when you become a member of Inta. So there are a lot of benefits that flow from being a member of Inta. Also, you connect with other professionals around the world. This enables you to kind of expand your experience, to find counsel in different jurisdictions, and to take up matters. If there are matters between companies or between lawyers, it provides a forum to take these matters up, sometimes face-to-face, whether it's in an annual meeting or other workshops. But if not, it certainly provides a network within which people are very comfortable reaching out and picking up the phone and talking through issues. There are just a number of important benefits that come to a company for being a member of Inta.
Right. And you've obviously, you've had those benefits for a number of years, and you're now sort of, assumed sort of the big chair, as it were. And I wonder if even sort of 1 month in, if it's what you expected it would be, and also whether you've spoken to kind of past presidents about, what lies ahead and what the kind of the presidency entails and any tips that they gave you.
Sure. And let me back it up. I mean, first I will say that I'm incredibly honored and humbled to be in this position. When I was in private practice in Oklahoma, I wanted to be involved at Inta for a long time and tried. It was a little bit hard to break through, but finally when I did break through and got involved, it was even more than I expected. As you contribute, I found with Inta, even the more you contribute, more comes back to you, both professionally and personally. So I never take any of the roles or any of my involvement in Inta for granted, because I remember quite well about wanting to be involved with Inta. And I have had the opportunity to talk to past presidents, which is very helpful. They've been incredibly supportive, giving me tips and guidance on various aspects of the role this year, whether it be policy or the opportunity to represent the organization. A couple things really come to mind. You said that I've only been involved for a month, and that's true. I will say that as you're involved with Inta, one thing you do know is how great the staff is at Inta. They do a tremendous job each and every year, and you see it. I did have the special benefit, however, this in early January, of going up to Inta when they have their Inta week, when the staff from all over is together and they're working on various things all in one place. And I had the benefit of sitting down and speaking with each group and each department and getting to know staff members that I didn't know before. It truly is just such a top-notch group, and the support that they provide for this organization is outstanding. One of the final tips that the past president said, in addition to helping me, was the year's going to go fast and enjoy. So I do hope to enjoy it as it proceeds. We'll certainly do a lot, and I'm really looking forward to this year.
Fantastic. And as you say, the there's a lot on the agenda, and we'll perhaps sort of circle back a little bit to sort of the event side of things. But I wonder if we can maybe take a look at some of the bigger issues that you'll be encountering over the coming year. And I know at the start, in January, at the start of the presidency, there's the communication issue, which kind of sets out some of your kind of agenda points and some of your areas of focus. And one of those was brand restrictions, which has been mentioned as a focus for the coming year, including kind of plain and standardized packaging, which has been a very hot issue over the years, and something certainly that the INTAs have been very plugged into. And I wonder if you've had a sense of, or could give us a sense of what Inter's main activity focus will be in this regard, particularly, I guess, with
sure.
the WTO due to kind of have its say on the Australian regime in the future. What's in the immediate future in terms of this issue?
Well, I'll tell you, the immediate is we put together a presidential task force this year to examine brand restrictions. And one thing I do want to underscore is that there are laws that are discussed and implemented or interpreted or passed above and beyond plain and standardized packaging, but that impact brands all over the world. And so the focus of the presidential task force is to look at these types of brand restrictions, these type of laws that adversely impact brands. And when I say adversely impact brands, you know there's actually two aspects of that. There's the impact on the brand owner, who is working hard to convey its message to the consumer in various shapes and forms, but specifically including on its product. And then there's also the impact on the consumer, where the consumer is expecting and relying upon his or her ability to easily differentiate the product that they're looking for from a different product. So it's a really important issue to brand owners, and it's a really important issue to consumers. So the presidential task force will examine these types of brand restrictions that are talked about, that are existing, and that are going on, and we'll look at the things that Inta can be doing in addition to the great history that Inta's had so far on various brand restrictions. I mean, Inta has been involved each and every step of the way in filing briefs, et cetera, in courts. You mentioned the WTO, and being involved in these issues. The presidential task force is going to look at what else can Inta be doing, and from a pure proactive basis. And this is important for the organization. And it's led by two outstanding co-chairs. It'll be led by Catherine Barrett Park, former president of INTA, as well as Burkhardt Gubel from the Hogan Lovells firm in Madrid, who is certainly an expert on brand restrictions. The task force is made up of folks from all over the globe, including members that are in countries in which there are current brand restrictions in various shapes or forms. So really look forward to a lot of good work coming out of that committee. It's a committee of superstars, honestly, and they will put out a report later this year that we'll share with the organization about the things that Inta will be doing.
Fantastic. And is the sense from the INTA is that, you know, it's not too late to turn the tide, or do you think the task force will be looking at, you know, what do we do within these new rules rather than trying to influence the rules?
Well, I mean, again, when we're talking about brand restrictions, laws that effectuate a brand restriction, like I said, they take various shapes and forms. So you mentioned the WTO decision that's expected, and that certainly relates to one type of brand restriction. This organization's, this task force's charge will be to look at all the various types of brand restrictions and for us to be extremely proactive in that regard. So now I don't think that the tide has turned, et cetera. I think it's the right time for it to be taking this kind of important step.
Yep. Great. And a lot of these brand restrictions obviously take place, I guess, for want of a better word, in the physical world. But the online environment is also a pretty big area of the INTA. And over the last few years, the new GTLD expansion has gathered a lot of interest, whether it's through its direct impact on Trademark Council or whether it's through some interesting marketing stunts by companies in the GTLD space around the interannual meeting. And I just wanted to get a sense of, you know, looking ahead at the next year, we're in a period where ICANN is engaging in a lot of reviews of the first kind of window of GTLD applications and that rollout, with a view to looking ahead to round two or maybe even a permanent round in the future. And I just want to get a sense of you know, what INTA is planning in terms of engagement in this policy area over the coming year.
Yeah, you know, new GTLDs and what ICANN is planning with regard to ICANN. Let me kind of outline a couple of the areas, if I may. The you know, INTA is obviously heavily engaged with ICANN's ongoing reviews. Particularly, you've got the Rights Protection Mechanism Review, the RPM. You have the Next Generation Registration Directory Services, Next Gen RDS. And you've also have the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Policy Development Group, which are tackling the core concerns really for trademark owners. And INTA members, it's great because they hold leadership positions in all three of these groups, and we have many members that are very actively engaged, both in the calls and the drafting process. INTA's Internet Committee, as well, certainly tracks the members, or tracking the progress, and formulating policy positions to assist in advancing the interests of trademark owners. And as you know, we organize this term subcommittees around the reviews and the working groups to ensure that we've got the maximum participation as well as subject matter expertise during each step of the process. We have more subcommittees, and they're with fewer members. And this enables INTA really to provide really sharp kind of laser focus on each of these issues, whether it's GTLDs or the right protections or compliance or access to the registration data.
Yeah. Great. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting time. You know, the study that's going to be looking at the impact on sort of the trademark communities is one I'm certainly keen to see the results of. And I just wanted to get a sense of whether you had, you know, your own personal sense, I guess, of the actual kind of real world impact of new GTLDs. You know, was it what the community initially feared in terms of pressure on budgets and rising infringements, do you think, or has a slightly different picture emerged for you over time?
Well, you know, the budget piece is important to understand, right? Because you know, something has to be sacrificed as our budgets they haven't necessarily increased to accommodate the increase in domain names. That's for sure. So you know, the question is where do you put your assets with regard to the expansion? And there's been a lot of anecdotal evidence, right, of impact, but there hasn't really been a firm evidence for us to point to on that. I mean, so what you talk about the impact study, you know, that's why INTA is initiating the impact study, because we really want kind of a data-driven approach to ask our members to give us information regarding, you know, the actual costs of the new GTLD program. And so we're going to be conducting, you know, the survey, market research, and all that to fully be able to gauge that, to talk with a lot more specificity and data.
You know, you mentioned sort of studies a number of times and research into different kind of areas, and that's something that I think I've kind of observed over the last couple of years, that the association's got a lot more involved with, particularly in terms of kind of impact studies. There's the one on new GTLDs, but there was also the recent economic study into the contribution of trademark-intensive industries across a number of Latin American countries. And I just wonder, you know, are further such studies kind of being planned at the moment in different areas? And I wonder why the association is seeing these as quite important to undertake.
Yep. Yes, there are going to be further studies, and I'll talk about them, that are going to be launched. You know, short answer is the impact studies allow us to get data, metrics-driven. And if we have data and evidence, we can reach out to policymakers. We can talk about laws that are being implemented, et cetera, with again, specificity and not just anecdotal evidence. And that's important in the world we live in today. In the world we live in today, things are measured by metrics. Frankly, an organization like INTA, then stepping up to gather that data really helps us to promote INTA's goals and trademark law and policy in general. So a couple of the studies are in the pipeline there's the ASEAN Economic Impact Study. So the purpose of this study is to measure the impact of trademark-intensive industries in five economies in the ASEAN region. So those would be Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, and the Philippines. So the specific areas for the study are going to be the impact of the trademark-intensive industries on GDP, employment, trade, investment, and tax revenue. And then the purpose of it's really to analyze, you know, what's ultimately the value and the contribution that trademark-intensive industries have in these countries. So we look forward to that. There's the INTA-BASCAP study, which I definitely would like to mention. As you know, last year, INTA partnered with BASCAP to work with them on updating the study they did on the economic and social impacts of counterfeiting and piracy. So this study is going to be officially published next week, next Monday, during INTA's anti-counterfeiting conference in Hong Kong. And this report seeks to quantify really more of the global value of counterfeiting and piracy and its related economic and social costs, because there's a huge economic and social cost on counterfeiting and piracy, and the purpose of this is to quantify that and examine it. So by measuring the scale of counterfeiting and piracy, it helps us in a number of ways. It helps us to understand the size of the problem, because it is a big problem, counterfeiting and piracy. It allows us to examine the related social costs, and most importantly, it really helps to inform policymakers. And once they kind of have this greater awareness and appreciation of the enormous size of the problem, counterfeiting, and all the impacts that it has, then government policymakers are a lot better equipped to, assign a greater priority to fight these crimes, because that's what they are, and to allocate resources appropriately to combat the counterfeiting and piracy.
Yeah, and it's interesting, but for many years, I think that there's been this kind of sense of IP skepticism amongst many members of the public, and whenever you sort of say, this is the cost of infringement, this is the cost of IP sort of theft, there's always been a sort of a quick response of, well, prove it. And what you've seen over the last few years is there is this kind of emerging body of work. So alongside sort of the BASCAP study and the Latin America and the ASEAN sort of study you mentioned, the US has had an economic kind of study into the impact of IP-intensive industries. EU IPO has done similar. So you're kind of getting that evidence now. And I just want to get a sense of, with something like, say, the Latin American study, which came out sort of a month or so ago, you want this to sort of be in front of policymakers. I just wonder how you kind of practically do deploy it. How do you kind of use it in kind of the real world?
Yeah, we definitely want it in front of policymakers, lawmakers, et cetera, certainly. And this goes not just to, it goes to ministries of economics and so on and so forth. We want to ensure that we're sharing this information as broadly as possible. And like you mentioned, the Spanish version came out, we published it. And what we did was we held a series of press conferences, and we also had some kind of government roundtables in the five countries in Latin America where the study occurred. And we received a lot of press coverage from it, and the response so far from the government has been very positive. So we're going to continue to promote this study. We're going to share it with new audiences across Latin America and around the world. And ultimately, we think that this study and studies like it, will be used to raise awareness of the value of trademarks to a company's economy, to a country's people, and it will definitely help support policymakers in developing related legislation, because again, we're really in a metrics-driven world, and being able to demonstrate specific impact is important for us to move our agenda forward, and to help brand owners and help consumers.
Great. And we've also been talking a little bit about, I guess, some of the big issues and what's going on in the wider world. And for my last few questions, I'd just like to maybe explore things in the INTA world. And I think one of the things that's upcoming over the coming year is the new strategic plan that's due to be published. And I just want to get a sense of the timings of that and what you expect we might see. I mean, are we looking at evolution or revolution?
Well, thanks for the question. I think it's certainly going to be an extremely positive advance. So certainly extremely positive evolution in INTA's, move forward. Obviously, I can't go into specifics until it passes, which we expect that to be this year, and then we expect to be approved by the board this year and then published later on in the year. It's certainly an evolution, though. It provides, you know, our association, our members, with a roadmap as to, you know, where we're going to go and how we're going to, and what direction we drive in this evolution. It's definitely going to build upon the existing strategic plan. It will set our future priorities over the next 4 years, and it's going to give us a pretty clear framework for all the committees. Interesting about this new strategic plan, I think you'll note that there's going to be two really kind of key components that mark a broadened scope for INTA. First, we employed a new methodology that we adopted for the development of this plan. So we not only consulted with people in our own community, you know, such as the INTA board, INTA members, staff, WIPO, TM5, and of course leading IPO offices. But you know, this time we also reached out to people outside of our immediate community. You know, examples are, you know, lawmakers, academics, various C-suite and marketing professionals, and certainly consumers. I think that the result is a strategic plan that is incredibly inclusive and certainly forward-thinking. The second point is that I like to make about it is, you know, we're learning, of course, that trademark professionals are increasingly not only working with specifically trademarks, but our work involves the overall support of the brand. And consumers understand the concept of the brand, but the concept of the trademark per se, that can be a little bit more difficult sometimes to understand for someone that is on the outside of our community. So it's important that we, as INTA, speak a language that you know, that anyone can understand. And I think for these reasons, I think you'll see that the new strategic plan will have a strong focus on brands.
Right. Fantastic. And another theme that I've sort of observed over the past few years has been a real focus on strengthening the I in the INTA, the international, you know, as well as the impact study in Latin America. There have been new offices opened around the world. New ones are planned. There's been a first major conference in Africa. The annual meeting has been to Asia. Leadership's gone to Panama. And I just want to get a sense from you of how you feel the association has changed culturally over the past few years and maybe what the ultimate end goal is in terms of that internationalization.
Well, I think it's extremely positive. You know, you're right. The first part is international. And we have been an international organization. We've been expanding internationally, and that's one of our four strategic directions in our current strategic plan. And we've had a lot of success over that in the last, you know, 3 to 4 years. So, you know, for example, we've had the annual meeting in Hong Kong in 2014. Leadership meeting in 2015 was in Panama, which was the first, you know, major INTA event that we've ever had in a Latin America country. Last year we had our first conference in Africa, which was the Building Africa with Brands conference, which was held in Cape Town. And last year we also opened our Asia Pacific rep office in Singapore. So we really are, in ensuring that we are living up to the I part of our name. And looking ahead, we're going to open our Latin America rep office in Santiago this year. And of course, also this year, the annual meeting is going to be held in Barcelona, which is the third annual meeting that's been held in Europe, and it'll be the fourth that's outside of North America. So, but I do want to underscore that we're not only expanding geographically, we're expanding substantively. And one example is looking at our expanded committee structure. One of the strategic directions or the current strategic plan is that, certainly for member satisfaction. And so these two strategic directions, both international expansion as well and member satisfaction, they complement each other. So as we as the organization expands kind of in both ways, it enables us to engage with a lot more members and a lot more IP stakeholders that are not necessarily members in more parts of the world than we have previously. And it certainly, as we grow geographically, as well as substantively, we're going to evolve culturally, and that's a real positive change and real to be so much more inclusive. So
great, excellent. And I guess you mentioned the events sort of side of things. So my final two questions relate to that area. And before I come back to the annual meeting, perhaps looking ahead to the leadership. I mean, in the past few years, it's kind of moved around sort of Arizona, Florida, Panama, which are all, I guess, for want of better words, warmer climes for November. And this year, there's a bit of a break from departure, and it's actually heading to D.C. And I just want to ask the question, why D.C. and why now?
Well, so it has been a traditional in kind of the warmer climates. And to underscore, INTA is going to continue to feature leadership meetings in those places. No question. But as the meeting grows, it's important that we look at new venues as well and new locations. And as we do that, we have to make sure that we can accommodate that we rotate in a way that can accommodate the size and scope of the meeting and do it in a way that is easy for people to get to and i.e. travel and as well as to keep the prices competitive. And so, sometimes INTA may look at, as it has this year, looking at leadership in a larger city. But it's always going to work hard to ensure that it's in locations that are efficient for, like I said, travel. And one of the most important things about leadership is having all the registrants stay in the same hotels. I mean, that's certainly part of the DNA of the leadership meeting, and that won't change. But making sure that we get everyone in place allows us to, and sometimes has us expand where we look. So that's why you've seen other locations, Panama and Washington D.C.
And I guess before that with the INTA annual meeting, and I guess the DNA of that is slightly different in that you'll never find anywhere that can house everybody in one resort. But I guess this year you'll certainly get sun in Barcelona in May. I just wanted to get a final kind of comment really for those that have perhaps not booked their sort of delegate place yet or the conference place. What are the key arguments that you'd make for why they need to be there in Barcelona in May?
Well. The annual meeting provides just a plethora of benefits to members. I mean, I remember the first meeting that I attended, and being there as a lawyer for my clients, and having the ability to attend all the different educational presentations that are being submitted, and learn from that, and grow from that, and take that back to work that into my practice. It is a huge benefit just in and of itself, and more importantly, like I said before, it gives a practitioner and a member the ability to interface with people they work with, whether it's opposing counsel, whether it's co-counsel, or whether it's their clients. And I can tell you, you know, the way that we do it at PepsiCo is it provides us an incredible opportunity because you have lawyers from all over the world that come into a meeting in one place, and we set up, in addition to going to sessions, we also set up meetings with our outside counsel from all around the world. And it is incredibly efficient to be able to sit with, let's say, 75 to 100 lawyers, not at one time, one-on-one meetings, and talk through issues that are going on in the country, and talk strategy, and talk updates to the laws in the country, and talk about our company, et cetera. It's the ability to do that, particularly from a company's perspective. You couldn't afford to do that otherwise by going to one place, and the same from an outside lawyer's perspective. They're able to go and meet with a number of clients face to face in one place. On top of that, there's a lot of other activities that go on during the annual meeting, Trevor. In addition to educational and meeting with clients, there are. As listed on the website, a number of things that occur that allow us to engage and interact with each other, get to know people better, receptions, and it really allows us to connect as professionals. And on top of that, as friends. And one of the nice things about INTA that I've always found is, you know, I've met so many incredibly sharp people, very smart, very talented, but I've met a lot of really good friends, and that's also a part of INTA that I think makes our organization very special.
Well, Joe, you've clearly got a lot of work to do over the coming year, and I appreciate you taking the time out today to speak to us, and I've no doubt we'll be talking again before too long.
Trevor, thank you very much for the time. I greatly appreciate it, and we will certainly be talking.
As Joe just mentioned, the INTA continues to evolve. And as it does so, there will be challenges ahead. Whether evolution or revolution, change is never easy. And that's particularly true when you have an international membership to look after. To that end, the next strategic plan will be critical in laying out the path for the immediate future of the association. In the meantime, as the annual meeting in Barcelona approaches, there's clearly a lot for Joe to get his teeth into. Thanks again for listening to the World Trademark Review podcast. If you are interested in all things trademarks, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, or even head over to worldtrademarkreview.com to get the latest news and features. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, and we'll be back soon with another episode. Until next time.
This has been the World Trademark Review podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, and be sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook for the latest news and updates. Thanks for listening.